Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Taos in Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, and we are getting ready for the big game. I've got my Curio Wellness shirt on. It is the, we're here. It's tastiness is getting to the end, our 27th anniversary countdown. I put my favorite foods out there. We got football. Everything I've been planning for like 5, 6 months, ever since I knew the Orioles stunk, has been around September 7th and circling the calendar. Buffalo, start the season, back to the scene of the crime. Last time I got together with this guy, we still had a chance, and we thought Andrews was going to catch the ball. Sal Capaccio covers all things Buffalo Bills. We really enjoyed the visit with him. I enjoyed everything about all my visits with you Buffalo people till the game starts, especially in the January games that are up there. This is really special, Sal, right? I mean, end of the stadium, last, the expectation. I've been in your town once since last year and saw the Josh Allen stuff all over every billboard. There's more of him than there are the Buffaloes on the side of the road these days in Buffalo. But a lot of expectation in that giant stadium coming up over all this. Feels very renaissance-y, but it feels like it's missing a ring finger and it's missing a parade, and this is where the party starts, right?
Yeah, for sure. Good to be with you again. It's funny, that play you mentioned at the end of the game, Mark Andrews obviously drops the ball, 2-point conversion. I was the closest person on the planet to him at the time. I actually picked up the ball and handed it to the official. I was standing right there at the pylon, and I thought he had it, and then all of a sudden he didn't, and you're like, oh my God, and you realize you're one onside kick away from recovering and going to the AFC Championship, and that obviously happened. And then the Bills lose to the Chiefs once again in heartbreaking fashion in Kansas City, having the ball and late and couldn't get the job done. And here we are again. Fast forward, what, 6, 7 months? These two teams match up once again, and no doubt they're two of the best teams in the AFC. They're both considered, Super Bowl contenders, not only for the AFC Championship but the overall Lombardi Championship and Lombardi Trophy. And yeah, Josh Allen is the MVP now. And this is a matchup of the last two MVPs, Josh against Lamar. It's a matchup of last year's divisional round playoff. We know that anything can happen when these two teams play. And when you do come to Buffalo for this game, and I'm sure this is going to be very much highlighted on Sunday Night Football, right above the end zone where there's more of the what we call there's a tunnel end zone, a scoreboard end zone. Right above the scoreboard end zone, you do see the new Highmark Stadium coming out of the shadows, basically, and it is ready to rock and roll in a year. And this is the last ever this Sunday, the last ever home opener at the current Highmark Stadium, which used to be Rich Stadium and Ralph Wilson Stadium and New Era Field. And it's been, 53 years.
Well, I've been through all of that with Memorial Stadium, right? I mean, here in Baltimore, when we said goodbye to that, we said goodbye to a franchise. I've been showing my old Colts ticket stubs off this week, having people like Clark Judge and John McClain on to kick off the season, and because we have a Colts reunion coming up for the 50th anniversary of the '75 team, which had Ted Marchibroda was a part of that. So there's a piece of history, in regard to Buffalo and all of that. That was O.J. Simpson's territory. But I mean, I've been to Buffalo many, many times. I mean, I was at those big games back in the '80s. When the K-Gun offense and beating up on Art Shell and Jay Schrader in the championship game to go to a Super Bowl, wide right, all of that history that's there. Josh Allen stands at the forefront of changing that, and you know you're good enough. You know you have a chance. Were there many years, 17 years, you weren't in the playoffs? I'm an Oriole fan, and there's many years you don't have a chance. I see that little Yankee bobblehead there. It's,
Yes, that's right.
you're angering my blood up, Sal Capaccio. But I would just say for the Buffalo fans and for what the stadium represents, it's like, all right, there's no grandparents with stories or aunts and uncles or big brothers with any stories of a Bills parade. I told Rasig last week, and his wife's from Chickawagan, Depew, and Amherst, the
I'm
whole
from
deal up
Chickawaga,
there.
so yeah.
Yeah, so, I said, if we can't win, I want you to win. But, like, there is a point in all of this that everybody's chasing Mahomes, man.
Yeah, listen, I think that the same can be said for here. We have this, there's this real big infighting rivalry. We saw it come out in a really bad way, I thought, last year before the Bills played the Ravens, between Bills fans and Ravens fans, Lamar against Josh and MVP and all that stuff. But the God's honest truth from my perspective is I love Lamar Jackson. And if Josh Allen can't win one, I hope Lamar Jackson wins one. And maybe they can both win one someday. But, as long as it's not the Chiefs now and them keep winning. But they're so tied in, right? Because they came out in the same draft class. Josh and Lamar, and they've been chasing, and neither of them has gotten to a Super Bowl yet. And yet they've been very, very close to do that. They both have MVPs, and of course Lamar has a couple now. And I just think that they're both right there, that at some point one of them hopefully gets it, and we want it to be us here in Buffalo, and you want it to be you in there in Baltimore. So they're so tied together. And I agree with you from that standpoint, which is, boy, if it can't be Josh and the Bills, at some point I'd like to be Lamar and the Ravens, because yes, John Harbaugh and Lamar and the Baltimore Ravens have won a Super Bowl, and the Ravens have won a couple, but with this head coach. But it's been a long time, and I think there's a lot of parallels between these two teams. The head coaches have been there, both of them, for a long time. And even though John Harbaugh has a Super Bowl, it's quite a while ago. And there's a lot of people saying, is he the guy to be able to bring this team to a Super Bowl? Same thing it said here about Sean McDermott, despite all the success, right? And then you have, people talk about what's happened in the playoffs with Lamar Jackson and some of the turnovers. Then you talk about Josh Allen, and yeah, he's been great, but he's had the ball twice in his hands late in games against Kansas City, and they haven't been able to win. All these narratives that come out. Fact is, they're both great, and only one team can win every year. And we'll see how much this game goes towards helping that at the end of the year. I will say, last year the Ravens crushed the Bills in the regular season, and the Bills still wound up with a better seed. The Bills beat the Chiefs in the regular season, and the Chiefs still wound up with a better seed. So this game is big, but it doesn't have to mean what happens at the end of the year and where these two teams fall, because there's a lot of football to be played.
Well, obviously, last year's a long time ago, whether you won or lost. I mean, I say that for like the Commanders, our other team here, as to whether they'll be, you think you're something and then you're not. Ask any Oriole fan around here what happened this year when things go wrong, pitching goes wrong, players don't develop. The Ravens have this reputation and this aura about them, certainly in watching generations of this, whether it was Shannon Sharpe and Rod Woodson coming in, or whether it was Matt Burke signing up for this and Anquan Boldin, and then Steve Smith and Eric Weddle trying, like these veteran players, and whether it's the deft moves to steal Roquan Smith at the trading deadline, but Derrick Henry signing up to come and play, Odell Beckham wanting to play with Lamar, going back to Deion wanting to play with Ray Lewis, right? Like, players want to come in. DeAndre Hopkins is the guy this year. Henry was the guy last year. Jaire Alexander comes in. Now, remains to be seen whether they can stay healthy or not because of that relationship with Lamar and all that. They've recruited talent in. One of the reasons Josh Allen won the MVP, to his credit, and I don't need a Homer from Buffalo to tell me, but this time last year we got together. I had you on the show before the beatdown here, and it was like, hey, Bills are a little bit diminished. I mean, they've lost some players. It's early in the year. They're trying to make it meld, trying to make it gel. Then you look up at the end of the year, Josh Allen's decorated, has done all of these things. And that's one of the reasons so many of the voters said, well, I mean, he had less to work with. I mean, Lamar got Derrick Henry last year. No wonder it turned out pretty good, right? So I think there's a little piece of that. Give me the Bills' outlook of the offseason, because I can sit here and say the Ravens might have gotten better. I mean, the Ravens haven't been diminished in the offseason at all. They brought up some pieces. They signed Kyle Hamilton to this big deal at the same time that old man Jerry's giving Micah Parsons away, within 24 hours. And are the Bills better? What have the Bills done? Because they're quietly maybe like the duck underwater in the offseason. They had problems with the running back, hold-ins. We haven't had a hold-in around here in a long time, man.
Well, he's back. He signed 2 weeks ago, so that was never really an issue. He did everything except for 2 weeks of training camp, right? But he did everything in the offseason. James Cook, he
That was
got
never a feeling he wasn't going to play Sunday night, right? Really?
no. And
Yeah.
he's been back for a few weeks now, so everything is it worked out there. But certainly was a bit of a distraction for a little while, especially with Hard Knocks and all of that, the here. But
Yeah, we had Lamar as a distraction 2 years ago, and it's all I talked about for 6 months, right?
So well, let me give you about the Bills the offseason. I've never seen a team with as much continuity on offense as the Buffalo Bills from last year to this year. And this is a team that broke records on offense. They scored over 30 points a game. They were the second best scoring team in the league. And that's without a true number one, quote unquote, wide receiver after moving on from Stephon Diggs last year. But there's really very, very, very little change in the Bills' offense. Nestor, I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but not only the Bills had a really good offensive line last year, and they brought back all 10, not just all five, all 10 of their offensive linemen, like every starter and every reserve. And when you have that, you can just continue to build on what you have, right? Which is great for them. All the running backs are the same. All the tight ends are the same. They added the best blocking tight end in the draft, Jackson Hawes. The only change is out are Mac Hollins and Amari Cooper at wide receiver, and in come Joshua Palmer, Elijah Moore at wide receiver. And I think that you could argue they're better, but who knows? It's you have Josh Allen. I think that matter. What the real change is on defense. The Bills believe they are a lot better on defense. When they played that game against the Ravens Sunday night, they were diminished. They were without Matt Milano, Terrell Bernard, and Taron Johnson, arguably the three best defenders. They're all healthy. They're all playing. But really what they did was they went and attacked the defensive line. The reason why the Bills, a big reason why the Bills have not been able to beat the Kansas City Chiefs when it's come to the playoffs, they haven't been able to get Patrick Mahomes, haven't been able to get him on the ground. So they went out this offseason. They signed Joey Bosa, and he's stayed healthy this preseason, and he looks good. I really like the way Joey Bosa has played and the way he's looked. You got to keep him healthy, though. It's a long season. They went out and they spent early draft picks on Deion Walker and TJ Sanders to come in and help out the defensive line. They signed Michael Hoyt, who's going to really help him, but he's out this game because he's suspended 6 weeks to start the season. And they drafted Max Harrison, their first-round pick at corner. He's out because he got hurt. Sprained his LCL. He's out for the first 4 weeks of the season, at least with IR. So, yes, I believe there definitely can be better, but there's still some issues where people are like, are they good enough? Tre'Davious White got hurt at corner. Former Raven. He was a Bill. He's a Raven at the end of the year. Plays in the playoff game. Comes back to Buffalo. Are their safeties good enough? There's still some questions about the secondary. I think Bills fans, honest Bills fans, would tell you they feel very good about the front seven and what they can do to get better after the quarterback and stop the run. But is the secondary going to hold up considering they have some questions? It could be great, but we don't know yet until they play. And that's why this is a really big challenge for them.
Well, and the Bills have a different kind of schedule too than the Ravens. I mean, the Ravens have just this unbelievable freight train schedule. They got Flacco next week coming in, but then Detroit and then at Kansas City, they got the Rams early in the year. It's a difficult schedule. I look at the Bills and look at the cushiness, and the AFC was always cushy for the Patriots when they were the Patriots for the most part. It's one of the easier schedules where you look at it and say, they're a way better team than those other three teams in there. They might go 6-0. And that's another part of this thing that even if you take a game from the Bills, you're like, they got some automatics in there to get them up into the 12s and 13s that you better get a game up on the Bills if you're a team like the Ravens and you're going to have a schedule like this, because you're going to need this one in your cap at some point. The Ravens are really in a tough way with the schedule early in the year.
Yeah, listen, I agree with you. And I'll say what I've said for a while and tell people is, there's one thing the Bills haven't done here over the last 5 years. They've won five straight division championships. They've gone to, three AFC championship games, two AFC championship games, but two of them. But the one thing they haven't done, they haven't had the one seed. They haven't had the one seed where they've had the week off and then a home game and then another home game. And I think this schedule sets up for them to have the one seed this year if they can stay healthy and, you know, do what they're supposed to do. Exactly why you said, A, the division, I mean, division games are always tough. I actually think the Patriots will be a lot better this year. I don't know how much better. And of course, the Dolphins can always, you know, put some points on the board. We'll see what the Jets are. But I agree with you. It's not the AFC North, right? You're not fighting with Cincinnati for two games and Pittsburgh two games. And of course, that rivalry with the Browns. So they should be able to take care of their division games. And here's the other part about the schedule. Yes, they go on. All their toughest games, I say that because we don't know what every team will be, Nestor. Ravens, Chiefs, Eagles, Bengals, all at home. For the Bills, everything on the road is against teams that they should be able to match up with and beat. I think they're favored right now, projected to be favored in pretty much every single game this year. The other part about the schedule, which is really fascinating to me, the Bills play one game outside the Eastern time zone, one. And that game is a Thursday night game in the Central time zone against the Houston Texans. When you have that a little bit of travel on your body, on your schedule, coaches and players love it, and you can stay in a routine. So I think the schedule really sets up for the Bills this year to do what they have not done yet in this five-year run with Josh Allen winning division championships, and that is to possibly get the one seed. But you got to beat the Ravens. You got to beat the Chiefs. You got to beat the Bengals. You got to beat them out. And a game like this can go a long way for that.
Well, you just made your case for Josh to not be the MVP this year because the schedule's too easy. So, I'll throw that out. Sal Capaccio's here. He'll be on the sidelines on Sunday evening. Sunday. Real football, man. Does it feel like 10 years ago that Andrews dropped up? It kind of does to me. It feels like a long time ago. And I would say for everything you've told me, just awakened me to the fact, because I know what that was like here. We spent 28 years here chasing an AFC championship game, and then Taylor Swift came and sat in the upper deck. We got our feelings hurt 2 years ago. And I was in Buffalo for the Art Shell Jay Schrader game. That was the first time they went to a Super Bowl in Buffalo. That AFC championship game is a little bit of a holy grail in any year because you can't host the Super Bowl at home. So I know talking about it all of these years, and the time we had had it before 2 years ago was the 1970 Colts against, like that's how far back it goes in Baltimore to have the AFC Championship game. We still haven't won one since then, since the franchise began. So for the Bills to do that kind of thing at home in that stadium where OJ played, like all of that thing where Jim Kelly, all of that. This is the only year they can do that, and they're capable of doing that, so much so that you're talking about it and I'm sort of talking about it and buying in. It's a romantic year for them. It's a real renaissance year in so many ways for the Bills franchise, which makes it a big deal all over Western New York.
I mean, let me give you the whole storybook that people have talked about here, which is you close down this stadium in the AFC Championship game at home. You get the one seed. And you have a chance to hoist the Lamar Hunt Trophy on the final ever game played at this stadium. I mean, how incredible storybook would that be? And then on top of that, 2 weeks later, the Super Bowl is being played an hour and a half from where Josh Allen grew up, San Francisco, California. I mean, you talk about storybook and what this season could be, and that's what people are trying to romanticize about. That's what we all do, right? That's what all football fans and sports fans do. You romanticize in a certain way, and you put it in your head, and then you would open up, and if you would win it, you'd open up a new, brand new stadium on the first game of the year with these banners and this celebration on the Thursday
Oh,
night, right? I
and they
mean,
bring Lamar in.
I don't know if they're playing next year at home. We'd see, but that's the storybook. You know, this year. There's been a lot of video and oral histories about this stadium. And you're right. I mean, there's so much history here. And I've been there for a lot of them as a fan and as now a reporter and a sideline reporter. It's my 12th year on the sidelines. I have incredible stories that I've shared with people about, you know, going to those games as a fan, as a kid, and also being a part of, you know, the radio broadcast. That game, if you ask Bills fans, and we've done this, if you ask Bills fans, like, what's the greatest game ever played at this stadium that's closing down after this year? You're going to get one of two answers generally, maybe one of three, depending on your age. The three answers would be the greatest comeback in NFL history when they came back against the Oilers. Okay. The 51-3 AFC Championship game, which that's my choice that you just referenced. I was a senior in high
Oh, I
school.
remember that day like it was
It was
yesterday, man.
41-3 at halftime,
The
and everybody
Bills
knew
make
they were
me
going to the
want to
Super Bowl.
shout. Yeah,
Yeah, but I
Mighty
mean, it wasn't.
Taco. I remember all that stuff up
But
there.
Esther, even then, like, it wasn't what I remember about that was it was 41-3 at halftime, and it was a party for a whole hour and a half in that stadium, the whole second half, and the chants that went up, thank you, Bills, and Super Bowl. That was incredible. But anyway, the other game would be just a few years ago, 2021 playoffs at night, what we call the perfect game when they finally put the final nail in the coffin of Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots and scored on every single drive and just ran them out of town and crushed them and throwing touchdown passes to offensive linemen and playing with them. Like that was an incredible night. It was 0 degrees. It was super cold. It was, I think, 9 below. It didn't matter. Nobody cared. Hot chocolate was freezing and people had the best time. Those are the three games I think that everybody says are the greatest games ever played inside this stadium.
Sal Capaccio is here. I love this conversation because something really special is happening in Baltimore this week, Sal. I don't know if you know this. It's the 30th anniversary of Cal Ripken,
It's
21-31,
awesome. That's great.
Saturday
I
night.
remember
You
it.
know, it's literally
Yeah.
this week. So
Didn't know that.
it's kind of a memorable weekend for fans here. Cal's being honored. Messina's coming back. You know, Brady,
Yeah,
all
that's
that
cool.
stuff, right? So that.
I'm a sucker for that nostalgia
Well,
stuff,
I know
so.
you are, and you're baseball guys. I mean,
Yeah.
my last name's Aparicio, so let's start the party here.
There you go.
The stadium opened in 92, the baseball stadium, which was our renaissance, which our gateway arch, Camden Yards, all that. Certainly, one thinks of the football stadium as being architecturally anything here. They're like Camden Yards, ooh, And I live downtown. So this was my view of the harbor, and I had the view of the stadium. You've probably seen it in our other piece. I probably had Camden Yards behind me. And how it changed my town, how it changed the feelings about my town and what's going on in your town with stadia and all that. But then you look up and it's 33 years later and you're like, oh, most famous thing that ever happened in the stadium was 21-31. Not a small thing, but not a championship thing. And you know what Oriole fans talk about? Modern Oriole fans, they're like, oh, the greatest thing ever was the Delmon Young double. Dude, you don't even know what the hell the Delmon Young double even is. There was a Delmon Young double against the Tigers in a regular playoff series that got them into the ALCS against the Royals in 14, where they didn't win a game, didn't have a lead. So still haven't won a playoff game all these years later. So that game to a modern Oriole fan, they're like, oh my God, it was a Delmon Young double. Like, you bring up this Bill Belichick game, and I'm outside, I'm like, that all you got, Josh Allen? You know, that's your, it's like Lamar has a highlight reel that's better than any highlight reel in the history of the game. It's not Jim Brown or Walter Payton. I mean, literally, right? It's crazy, the highlight reel, but it doesn't mean anything if you don't win and you don't have that memorable thing. Dude, that AFC Championship game, that's a memory. When you win an AFC Championship game at home, you were there as a kid, that's your greatest memory, because that's what you have to have silver hair to have that memory. And I think there's part of that for any fan base, making that memory, and you have that chance. And the only way you can do that is to win games in late January, right? And that's something that both of these franchises, Chiefs fans are like, which one do you want? Which memory do you want? You know? And we're all sort of pining away for that. And that's probably why beating up Belichick felt so good, because he did it to us here until Flacco
Yeah,
exercised it, you
but he
know?
also, it was Tom. I mean, you have to understand this, they were in the same division and they crushed him for 25 straight years. It was literally like ruining people's childhoods, right? I mean, like, so I think that game was the ultimate, oh my God, they finally, like, this is it. We slayed the dragon. So yeah, I mean, right. It's a game, but that game meant way more than just beating the Patriots or Bill Belichick. It was what it meant to the people who grew up for 25 straight years. Tom Brady literally signed a jersey the other day. Someone sent him one of those new Bills Nike rivalry jerseys. It was a Josh Allen, what he put on it. He put 33-3, 33-3, because that was his record against the Bills. 33-3.
I mean,
Like,
that's
that's why it meant so much. So, yeah, I think if you're a certain age and you're not old guys like us,
right. But if
that game
that's
can
all you got,
qualify
that's all
for.
you got
And
until
the other
the
difference
next thing,
is
till the next
that
thing.
the other difference is you do have two rings in Baltimore,
Yeah.
right? So we don't hear. So anytime you have like these unbelievable, incredible, hey, I mean, honestly, to me, the greatest play, maybe ever, the most historical play ever in that stadium might be the Taron Johnson pick six against the Ravens during the COVID playoff year, right? Like that to me, because of what it meant for the Bills to go on like the next week, the Ravens are about to score to tie it up. Taron Johnson goes back. Because we don't have that championship under this regime, we don't have a Super Bowl. Those are the things. Now what's going to happen, Nestor, and you know this because you've lived through this. I lived through it with Syracuse basketball chasing, championships for years.
You need a mellow.
Once you get one, those other memories that meant so much, they don't qualify as much. And I think that's what you're saying, which once you get it, that's what matters, right? And you know that. But until that, we're still chasing, and that's what we have right now.
Well, yeah, Brian Billick's my partner here for years, and I've seen him give his speech so many times. And he would always hold a Super Bowl ring up and he say, see that? That's a Super Bowl ring. You know, they tell you
Yeah.
that. That day you win it, that they can never take it away from you, but that won't stop them from trying.
That's right. That's exactly right. You know, it's funny, but we also live through, and you're of the age to know, like, yeah, four Super Bowls, Jim Kelly, and they didn't win anything. And the further we get away from that, we know how special that was. And Dan Marino never won a championship, right? I mean, I do think that there's some, I push back on the people who say, well, it doesn't matter if you don't win one. I think I would never take anything away from those careers or those people. They were unbelievable at what they did. I think as a city, as a collective, as an organization, as a fan base, sure. I don't know what would happen if the Bills ever won it, but I'm close to Jim and Thurman and all those guys. Thurman's a very good friend of mine now, and I see what, Dan Marino and Dan Fouts and those guys who never won it. And I think you have so much more of an appreciation sometimes, even for the people who didn't win one. That to me is unfair that it should define those legacies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think for that's part of Lamar versus Josh on Sunday
Yes.
night that I've talked about, that said, I remember when Peyton couldn't win, and then he did, and then his
He did.
brother, and then he had to chase his brother. And I also remember Philip Rivers, and I remember Randall Cunningham, and
That's
I
right.
remember Matt Ryan, who could have, should. Like, there's just a lot of guys out there that spent, Roethlisberger spent years chasing, Flacco spent years chasing, you know, Drew Brees spent years chasing.
Hey, mean, not in the same category, but my guy Donovan McNabb went to like four, three, eight championship games in a Super Bowl, never won one,
And that diminishes something, but it doesn't diminish the chase, like the Deep Purple song, you
Sure.
know. I mean, the thrill of the chase for every Bills fan, for what it means on Sunday night for younger people, who Lamar is all they got. They don't remember Ray Lewis or and you know, we're at that point
That's
generationally
right.
where you're about to pass that torch into the new stadium. And I'll leave with this. Sal Capaccio's here. Just as I know you're an old Bills fan and I'm an old broken-hearted Colts fan here, and reliving some of that a little bit with the Colts. We have a Colts reunion next next week. So it's
Love it.
75 Colts. Burt Jones was, something here when I was, that's my first love, 7-year-old. There is a point for all of this. I think new season, new beginning, 0-0, new memories to be made. And just, I think a great game. And the league draws these games up to make us really interested.
Yeah, for
Somebody's got
sure.
their feelings hurt on Monday, brother.
Yeah, for sure. And like, I don't love that it's the first game of the year. I think that's a game that should be saved for later. You know what I mean? I really do. I like the Bills, the last 4 years, they had to open on Thursday night, the opener against the Rams. After the Rams won the Super Bowl, the Bills were the opening night opponent. The next year, they had to go Monday night at the Jets. This year, Sunday night against the Ravens. Last year, Arizona Cardinals come to town, home opener, Sunday, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, beautiful Orchard Park, New York, picturesque scene in the fall. I like that. I wish it would be that, because I think these two teams, this is high anxiety for everybody, right? You're opening up with this particular game. Somebody's going to, but you know what? The beauty is, Nestor, there's 16 games left after that, and they're all going to go on to week two no matter what. And, the Ravens last year, remember, they lost to the Raiders, right? Early on in the season, I think week two, right? After that tough game to open the Chiefs. And they still had a really, really fantastic season. It's a long season. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And we have to remember that no matter what happens, I think, on Monday night. But you're right, on Sunday night, excuse me. But getting up Monday morning, somebody's going to feel really hurt, and somebody's going to say, I can't wait to watch all the highlight shows everywhere because I'm going to relive my team winning.
I've done purple therapy here after losses on Mondays for 30 years.
Yeah.
We'll be here, win, lose, or even if, well, it won't be a draw, but either way, Sal Capaccio, I will be on the sidelines on Sunday. Tell me about Sal Sports, right? The easiest way to find
Yeah.
you. Give them what you do.
Yeah, for sure. The easiest way to find me, everything I do. I'm on WGR Sports Radio 550 in Buffalo, but this day and age, everywhere at Sal Sports, you can find everything I do, all the content that I create. We have a really great podcast with my buddy Matt Bove. He's the sports director at the ABC affiliate here in Buffalo. And you can find us, it's called It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, and that's at Sal Sports on video. You can download it on iTunes, and of course, at Sal Sports on X, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, whatever it is, you want to call it Instagram. That's the name. I got it years ago, and luckily I kept with it so I could just kind of keep that branding going at Sal Sports.
I've had so much fun this week because I have so many. Vic Carucci's been on this
Oh,
week
Vic's the
and,
best.
ch chasing old friends. And I have Ryan Pitota on, this beautiful young man who created the GoFundMe page for Mark Andrews. He is. Have him on your show, Sal. There's my gift to you. His name's Ryan Pitota. He started his GoFundMe page, raised $164,000 so far for di juvenile diabetes in the aftermath of bullying of Mark Andrews. And I went up, I had dinner with his family at Bar Bill's. I had the best
I love
wings,
it.
and I had
Yes.
the best beef on weck I've ever
Oh,
had in
yeah.
my
I love
life.
it.
So I'll tell everybody, if
That's
you
what we
go to
do.
Buffalo this weekend, go for the tailgate, stay for the football game, but get some beef on weck, get some wings, do all what the locals do up there, and be safe and have a good time. Because we're probably coming back in January if we lose. And it'll be a hellhole up there in
And
January if they're shutting that stadium down. So
maybe Bills will be in Baltimore in January if the Ravens pick this one. Remember though, last year it went the other way. Real quick story, I got to share. I got to thank. On the sidelines last year, Sunday Night Football, and I'm there and I'm doing the thing, and the Bills are losing pretty bad, and I look up and they're showing on the big video board in Baltimore at the stadium, and it's Steve Smith, wide receiver, and he's in the band. And I'm like, wait a minute, Steve Smith's part of the, what's going on here? I'm a drummer. Steve Smith is a drummer. He's in the marching band for the Baltimore Ravens. I'm like, oh my God. And we've met each other a few times in our broadcasting career going to, so I want to, it was amazing. I love it. See, he didn't come there to be Steve Smith. He came there to be a drummer in the marching band at the Ravens game. And it was amazing. And I love him. And he's my guy. And I just love kind of stuff like that and all the different connections that happen.
well, it should be both of our goals for the season to make Taylor Swift come to our stadium
There you
instead of
go.
having to go to Taylor Swift's stadium. So, of course, last time she came here, it didn't end so good for us. And she said it was the greatest football memory ever being on the field in Baltimore.
Well, she's engaged now. Josh got engaged to Hailee Steinfeld a couple of months ago, of course,
Right.
famous actress. So, I mean, we're watching all of these people, Lamar, Josh, everybody included, just grow up before our very eyes, right? I mean, Josh and Lamar are going to be turning 30 within the next year or so. So it's just amazing that, we're here after this many years and watching this and keeps the train running, right?
I just want it to turn out better than DiMaggio and Maryland did, as I throw a cheap shot at you Yankee guys up there. Sal Capaccio torturing me with Yankee paraphernalia, some Syracuse stuff, which Andy
Hideki,
Mueller
go
will.
Hideki
Oh,
Matsui.
it's
There you go.
Hideki Matsui.
There you
Well, he
go.
was a nice
What
man. So
about
that,
my guy? Wait, I went this. I
where's
actually
your
got
Mike
this.
Mussina bobblehead?
Wait, no. This is actually from Orioles Yankees this year. They had this, the Aaron Judge Superman, when they promoted the Superman movie, and that was actually, they gave that away. And I was at Yankee Stadium against the Orioles this year, and they gave that away, and the Orioles crushed the Yankees that night, by the way. But yeah, there you go.
You know what the Orioles should do? Have an Elaine Benes bobblehead night for the Orioles. It's an idea for Katie Griggs. There you go.
Then you could have it dance all different ways.
She was from Towson. I am Nestor. We are WNSC. Man, we got to play this football game.
Let's go.
I may bother you after the game. Sal Capaccio, he's on the sidelines. He covers the Bills better than anybody. Find him at Sal Sports. You can find Luke at Owings Mills. If you're on our WNSC tech service, you'll get breaking news first. All of it brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. And I want to give a special shout out to our friends at GBMC for sponsoring the GBMC hotline around here and for trying to get a 56-year-old guy to do all the men's health stuff that he doesn't want to do. My God, it's going to be a tough football season, especially if they don't win. Monday morning, we'll be here to break it down, Luke and I. Stay with us. We're Baltimore Positive.